Malarkey. Have you ever played that game? The one where everyone holds cards and takes turns putting their cards down, face down, in the correct order. And if the player doesn't have the correct card, they have to bluff to make their way through their turn without someone challenging the truth of their play. The game goes by many names. One variation is called Balderdash. And I grew up calling it, I doubt it. If a person is challenged and caught trying to pass off their cards as some other cards, they must pick up all the cards in the discard pile. If the person who challenges them by saying, I doubt it, after the cards are placed on the discard desk, but before someone else begins their turn, if they find that the player challenged was telling the truth, then the challenger picks up the discard deck. It really is a fun game, though it can last for as little as a few minutes or as long as a few hours. And I'd say I get tired of it and call a truce with everyone if it goes longer than 45 minutes. But the game is really based on the fact that doubt is risky, but not unhealthy. Is that a life rule? Is there a life rule anything like it? Is there a life rule completely opposite of it? Look at this morning's reading, or this afternoon's reading, whatever you're watching. Look at the reading from John. After he was resurrected, Jesus came to the disciples and showed them his wounds, and he breathed on them. When he breathed on them, he told them to receive the Holy Spirit. He also told them about forgiving sins. However, Thomas wasn't with them at the time. He was probably hanging out, maybe with his twin brother. Thomas, called Didymus, means the twin. Now, it could mean he had a twin brother. It could mean he looked exactly like Jesus. I don't know. We don't know exactly why he wasn't there. But then a week later, Jesus appeared again and showed Thomas. He told Thomas to stop doubting and to believe. He also told everyone that the ones who believe without seeing will be blessed. And therefore, we are convicted to believe without seeing. We are moved to go from doubters into believers. We are taught that our questions are signs of doubt, and that doubt is the opposite of faith. Wait, did I just say that? I did. Did I believe that last sentence? Let's dig in here. I've said it before, and it's important to remember. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Let me make some statements to you. Think about whether you agree or disagree with them. Doubt is uncertainty or skepticism. Doubt is the absence of faith. Faith cannot exist with doubt. Doubt and faith exist together. The first statement is a shortened version of a dictionary definition of doubt. Doubt is uncertainty or skepticism. The second one is one that I was taught by a few teachers when I was growing up. Doubt is the absence of faith. I was taught that. The third one is what the second one led to in my mind as I grew. Faith cannot exist with doubts. The fourth one is what I believe. Doubt and faith exist together. The Life Application Bible says this about doubt. Some people need to doubt before they believe. If doubt leads to questions, questions lead to answers, and the answers are accepted, and doubt has done good work. It is when doubt becomes stubbornness, and stubbornness becomes a lifestyle, that doubt harms faith. When you doubt, don't stop there. Let your doubt deepen your faith as you continue to search for the answer. I don't necessarily follow that, but I love the last line. Let your doubt deepen your faith as you continue to search. That makes me glad. It makes me enthused about what is to come. It makes me able to say things like, I have doubt that the Bible has come to us without the flaws people have put into it. But I have faith that the Bible has come to us in a book form, and we have much to study and to learn from it. I have doubt that a loving God would allow all the hate and evil and tragedy in the world. even if it is people who have set the wheels in motion that lead to all of it. But I believe that God's view is much larger than mine. It doesn't mean I have to just accept hate, evil, and tragedy. I still have to work toward a better world. I just have to acknowledge that I don't have all the answers. I have doubts about what the next days, months, and years will bring for St. Paul's United Church of Christ. But I believe that as we live into being a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, and a beacon of hope, justice, and peace, that we will continue to be a relevant and vibrant faith community. Think about Thomas again for a minute. Now, the story has been called Doubting Thomas. But what if there was a different way to look at it? Thomas wasn't there. And he had always been there. Jesus showed himself to all the others who were there. Thomas was like, Jesus, how could you do that? How could you appear when I wasn't there? How? I need to see you. I need to touch. I need to feel what's going on here. It bothers me that I missed this. What if that was it? Do we miss God's presence? Do we feel jealous that other people get it? Or just in general? Do we feel jealous when we miss out on the good things that other people experience? I don't have the answer to why we feel that way or to if that's the way Thomas was. But you can understand a little bit, can't you? Thomas felt left out. If you feel left out, I hope that in these services, in however you have experienced church or are experiencing church once again, that you are loved, and that your doubts feed your faith, and that we all can continue to ask questions and grow. Will God be faithful? Will God be a guide? Will God be what the future requires? No doubt. Amen.